Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Tim here, checking in to say thank you so much to all those of you who have left reviews. I so appreciate it. It really helps out the podcast. And I'm going to read a very nice review left by Ryland Gillard. It says, Tim is hilarious and the interviews are all super fun and engaging, but don't get it twisted. He's also a really great interviewer. Okay, that was a fun twist, Ryland. Thank you. His love for his guests and what he does shines through every ep. Def recommend checking this out. Ryland, thank you so much. So much work goes into this, and it's also so much fun, but I need the validation, and it really helps to get the word out, so I so appreciate it. If you're enjoying this pod, go ahead and leave a little review-y-pooey. All right, we're going to get into the episode now with the wonderful, very sweet, and very funny Claiborne Elder. We talk all about what it's like to be a father, a gay dad, a gay daddy even, company on Broadway, which is going to be reopening in December, starring Clay, Patti LuPone, ever heard of her, and so many others. We laugh, we have a great time, and I hope you enjoy.
Used to want the bed, but now he doesn't, so let's have a slumber party. Oh.
Hello, my lovely, queefy little slumber party listeners. It's your host, Tim Murray, and you're, of course, listening to the podcast where I interview Broadway stars, drag queens, and comedians about their slumber party experiences growing up. And today, we have someone who I've been a fan of for a very long time. I'm so excited to have him in the house. I don't know if you've ever heard of Stephen Sondheim. It's not Stephen Sondheim, but someone who is very familiar with Stephen Sondheim was in, I don't know if you've ever heard of Sunday in the Park with George, or, and we're really going to get into this, Bonnie and Clyde on Broadway, and of course, the current revival of Company. Please welcome to the stage, Claiborne Elder.
Da, 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 da. Hello.
How?
My name's Claiborne Elder. And my platform is Broadway. Oh, I was being a beauty queen. How are you?
Please always be a beauty queen at me. Please, hello. Let's do our real beauty queen entrances. Hi, I'm Timothy R. Murray, and my platform is the sky. I would like to keep it blue. So please do your best to do good, and no recycling. Yes to recycling.
Recycling's good.
Recycling's good. What would your talent be?
What would my talent? Well, it would be like fire batons, but I don't know how to do that at all. But I would either learn or maybe I would purposefully not learn at all and then just light some batons on fire on stage and be like, oh fuck, what is this gonna be like? And I would throw them and things would catch on fire and I wouldn't win, but they would remember me.
That is all that matters. She said, I'm really going for it today. I'm going for the just the sheer memory of this happening, of me fully lighting myself on fire. Wow.
It's true.
Wow.
I'm glad we covered it.
I know.
I needed to get that out for a while. So I feel like a lot. I feel like weight has been lifted.
I feel really good. Woo! I feel really good about that. Are you a Drag Race person? Do you watch Drag Race? It's okay if not.
No. I do. I haven't seen every season, but I've seen many seasons.
There is a season that many people haven't seen, but the Drag Race Thailand, I think it's only available on WoW Presents Plus. In the second season of Drag Race Thailand, Clay, I'm not kidding you. It's like almost every single runway, somebody lights themselves on fire. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, if that isn't a review that makes someone need to watch something, wow.
If you're into the runway part of the show, there is nothing like this season. Like, these girls literally walk out there, I'm not kidding, on more than one occasion, fire. A girl lights her entire skirt on fire and it engulfs her whole body and she does like a spin out of it. And they yell at her because they're like, this show isn't worth losing your life. Please don't scare us like that again. It's, they're really going for it.
I mean, my two favorite things are Drag Race runways and self-immolation. So it feels like that's the perfect marriage of my interests. I don't know why I haven't seen it yet. I mean,
wow. I love that combination. I love that combination for you so much.
Really, it always keeps them guessing. I haven't seen, I think I knew there was a Drag Race Thailand, but I've not seen, or the, it's not RuPaul. Mm-mm. RuPaul's not me.
It's not RuPaul. It's somebody else. It's these drag queens who are in Thailand who are amazing. One of them's name is Pangina Heels, and she's so fierce. And then, like, literally the hottest man out of drag that you've ever seen in your life. It's, and they're really, really passionate and really fun. But I mean, it's hard to keep up now because now there's like Drag Race Pasadena, Drag Race Westchester, Drag Race. Yes.
Drag Race everywhere. And I support it. I love it. I'm very, very into it. But there are so many that I can't keep up.
Did you watch the finale this past week?
I did.
What did you think?
I mean, I don't know. Can we spoil
absolutely
anything?
I recap it for Screen Rant, and I posted my recap the next day, and somebody was like, thanks for the spoiler. I'm like, if you're not,
what did you think recap news?
Yeah, what, like, what? Also, it's out there now, like, you can't, otherwise just don't get on the internet is my rule with that's it.
Good. You know what, you make a great point. So I was 100% Team Simone, adore, love, all about it from day one. Total star, like a star quality that I just haven't even seen that much of on that show. Because even the things she didn't do well, she was like, I don't do this well. It's not going to be my thing. You know, like, yeah. And she tried, but she's like, this, I'm not going to do this outside. Like, she felt like she really knew who she was and knew where her strengths were. And she showed up for her strengths and they killed it.
Really did. I'm like trying to liken her to what, like, a Broadway star who has that kind of stage presence, like that kind of thing where you can just stand on stage and people are staring at you when you're barely doing anything.
Heather Headley.
Yes.
To me personally, like, everybody has different, but oh my god, I went, first of all, Aida was the first Broadway show I ever saw, front row. I got sweat on by the boys spinning around, the Egyptian boys. And then I went to see Color Purple when she was in it three times.
I saw it, yes, with her Cynthia too. Rigo, oh my god.
Heather Headley. I wanted all Heather Headley all the time.
Didn't you feel, I felt like she was bringing, I saw Jennifer Hudson in it as well. And I just, that show is incredible. When Heather Headley did it, I was like, are you bringing a witchy energy to this? I felt like she was like doing things with her hands where I was like, oh, you're entrancing this woman. This is next level exciting to me.
I love that.
I really felt like, yes. Yeah. I was like, she's, yeah. Remember, Whitney, remember. Remember, Celie, remember.
Wow.
That's how I felt. Heather Headley, you're so right. I mean, and truly, what an icon. You watch any of those clips of her. The clips of Heather Headley in, was it The Bodyguard that she did in London?
And good God.
She's singing these iconic Whitney songs and making them her own in a way where you're like, how dare you? Also, I would even liken Simone to like an Elaine Stritch with what you're saying of like, yeah, maybe she knows she's not, you know, Elaine Stritch wasn't the most famously amazing vocalist in the world. But when she stood on a stage and was performing, you're like, I cannot take my eyes off of what's happening here.
That's an excellent point, and I totally agree with you. Just that there's that star quality thing that is just balls to the walls confidence and still a grace that is just like, you're confident, but I don't hate you. And that's what, you know, like, that's what to me is that kind of magic, is that's the person I want to watch always.
Ooh, and I think that's exactly what you said is what the show is for me, is why I love it. Your confidence without crossing the line into cockiness. Like, it's truly just like, I own who I am, and you're going to love that.
Absolutely.
It's so good.
Isn't it wonderful to watch? My husband had never watched a season until quarantine. And I was like, I kept saying to him, you will love this, but you just don't like the like culture. You don't like the like, you're just not, you know, you're turned off by the popularity of it because that's who he is. And we watched All-Stars, we watched the season that went into quarantine and they all did it from home. I think that was All-Stars,
All-Stars
right?
5.
And he became that.
Yes. You started him with All-Stars 5, Clay. And that means that he really likes the show. If that got him into it, I mean, that season was I recapped that season and I'm trying to be as kind as possible, but and I know a lot of people who work on the show, obviously, so but man, they really were putting us through it with
oh my god, yes. It was a lot.
I rewatched All Stars 2 in this pandemic and now I'm like, this was it's a little unfair to the other All Star seasons because that was such perfect television.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god,
it was so good. Who are your and then who are your husband's like top queens, like who are girls that you would like love to see?
I love Trixie Mattel.
Never heard of her,
right? I don't even know. My husband Eric is obsessed with Simone. Fully obsessed with Simone.
I get it.
And we both loved Crystal Method too. We both totally like loved Crystal Method. Who else?
Crystal Method is a really, really good one. She's one I'm very excited to see, hopefully on an All-Stars, like whatever looks those are going to be. The elevated All-Stars looks for her, I feel like are going to be out of this world. No. All-Stars 5 was also hard because season 12 was, in my opinion, so good. Season before this one, Crystal Method, Gigi Good, Jada, Heidi in Closet.
Gigi Good. Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. We watched that one. He watched that one too.
I mean, I feel like that's a really good entry season because you're just like, I feel like the key is having really high, excellent drag and then really, really great reality TV personalities.
Yeah.
And say what you want
and
about
a broad spectrum, like the spectrum of. Of that cast was, and I don't even mean just color, I mean just quality, talent,
types of strengths. Drag. I mean, like, yeah,
it's like this broad spectrum of things, and it was really that made it very exciting.
And it
because it was like putting apples against oranges in some competitive, you know, things. And so it was like, I don't know which ones anybody could pull ahead when. You know.
Which is why it's so fun. Yeah, it's so fun when that happens because like in season 6, I think about all the time, for instance, because you have like Courtney Act, who's this unbelievable look queen, and then Bianca Del Rio, who couldn't be more different, like just jokes on jokes on jokes, and then Adore Delano, who's like completely a personality queen. That's what season 12 felt like, I felt like, because there were so many girls with like completely different points of view. It was so fun.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I mean, I've seen probably like four seasons of the show. I can't even remember. I feel like what I should have done during quarantine was go back and watch them all because I had time. Except that at the same time, I was a person with a 3-year-old during quarantine, and quarantine was not sitting around watching TV all day. It was playing with a 3-year-old all day, which was awesome and fun. But also I didn't like watch all of Lord of the Rings or things that everybody kept posting about. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm cutting out construction paper circles and gluing them onto other construction paper circles.
Honestly, how did you do that? How did you do this year? Every parent I talk to, I'm like, I bow at the altar of you. I cannot imagine.
Well, you know, I think we were lucky in that if he had been 7 and had to go to school and we had to like homeschool elementary school or middle school, that would have been very difficult because at those ages, they are really not self-sufficient enough. In high school, really tough, but at least they can do it on their own a little bit. I feel lucky that we had a toddler. And actually we were kind of gifted this amazing 8 months to, you know, a year of just being with him all the time in a way that, you know, when the pandemic hit,
I was in Company on Broadway. We were totally blindsided. We were in previews. So we were rehearsing all day long, performing at night, you know, like I didn't know anything was going on in the world. And when the shutdown happened, all of us were like, what's happening? I'm in my underwear in that show. And so I'd been like eating very, very well. And the day we shut down, I got a pizza and a carrot cake and we drove to our house upstate and I ate for like a solid 3 days. It was like the best 3 days of my life. And then we just stayed upstate and now we're still upstate. And I feel like I had been working so hard that I'd been missing out a little bit on time with my son just for, you know, like that last month. And so it was really, it was the bizarre gift of this was getting to spend so much time with him and getting to know him so well. So
that's so, you know, sweet and so beautiful. I love the video. I just watched another interview with you and the video started out with you playing the guitar and he's playing like kind of playing the bongos. Yes. On like a bucket. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. Have you always wanted to be a dad?
Yes, I have. You know, twice in my life at like joke award shows, I have been voted most likely to be a mom. Once in high school, once in college. Not a dad. Most likely to be a mom, because I give off a lot of mom energy where I'm just like, I'm very nurturing and I like to cook and I like to take care of people. And I, you know,
you're always bringing in the Rice Krispie treats and every Broadway show.
Tell my therapist about it. Yeah, exactly. So I always knew that I wanted to. I didn't know that it was possible. You know, I was a Mormon kid growing up in Utah. I didn't have any, there was no representation. There was no, like, I didn't know a gay family. I didn't know anybody who had gay parents. I'd known people who were married, had kids and got divorced and were gay, but that's a very different situation than somebody who wants to, a gay person that wants to have kids. And, you know, we always said that if we somehow, the money showed up, that we would just put it away and save it for a surrogacy. And actually, when we got married, we registered for a baby. We set up this like online site, where you could go and you could like donate like
a baby.
We had all sorts of joking things. Yeah. But it was like giving us money towards a baby. And that was our little nest egg towards getting a baby. So like everybody who came to our wedding gave us our baby in a sense, you know, like in a sense we, that like it takes a village, and that was our village, and that was the start of it.
Okay, I'm sobbing, crying. That is so beautiful. That wow, I'm really that really just hit me. That's so cool. You know, we talk a lot about community, and I think that's been the main thing missing for all of us in this last year and a half. What an incredible thing that your community of friends and family helped make that happened for you guys to have a fam.
Yeah. And the support of, you know, I mean, like I come from a very conservative background, especially on my dad's side. It's a very old Mormon family. And I was most surprised by the support of that side of the family and cousins that I don't even really know that well, who were giving me money and showed up at my wedding and were like, yeah, we just support you. You're our family. I don't know. We'll figure this thing out. We'll figure out what we feel about you being gay, but it doesn't matter. You're getting married and we're going to be there.
Wow. 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 Wow.
And we were very lucky. I mean, not that every single person was like wearing a rainbow flag around their shoulders as they walked in, but I was very lucky in that. And, so yeah.
Your conservative relatives are all of a sudden like, Team Simone, Team Gottmik over here. Okay, let's watch a wedding.
That's exactly right. That is,
isn't it?
That's not going to happen.
Truly amazing, though, that we have, the needle has moved even this much. Because, like you're saying, I didn't grow up Mormon, but I grew up very Catholic in Ohio, and like you were saying, I did not have any representation that I saw. You know, I think the really hard reality that I've been unpacking in therapy, not to get too deep, but let's go there. I've teach kids a lot as like a side hustle, and I really love it. I love working with children. And there is this really strange thing inside of me that happens when like other adults or parents see me around kids, where some shame story comes up where I think these people don't think that I'm supposed to be doing this. And I was recently, like just before the pandemic, denied a babysitting job because they were like, well, we'd rather have a female. And I was like, whoa, that, I mean, I'm a very privileged white man. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not saying I'm like oppressed in hardly any way, but it was strange to me. I was like, this is, it sent me kind of on a spiral of like, I've always wanted to be a dad, and it makes me feel really weird that you don't, you know, you're implying that I won't be a good nurturer because I'm a man, is like deeply wrong.
It is. That is very strange. And I understand what you're saying, that it's not, you know, yes, it is not like a crazy act of discrimination, but still like the implications of, well, you're a man, you can't, you're not going to do as good a job. Or also that they're just like, we don't trust a man alone with our baby, or a gay man alone with our baby. There is that sort of like, is that part of, you know, like in the back of your head, it does feel like, is that part of what's happening here? I don't know.
Yeah. Whether it's true or not, it's like the weird way we were raised from our generation, and obviously the generations before us, is like, that is still, that story is still somewhere ingrained in me. And it just feels so strange. So all that to say, I just think it's so amazing that the needle is moving, and that your conservative relatives did come and, you know, were supportive in as much as they could be, and that you guys are giving representation. Like, looking at your Instagram, I was just like, wow, this is possible for me and for so many other people. It's so cool.
Yeah. Because also the other thing, you know, we're it's very expensive to have a baby if you don't have a uterus, and you have to borrow somebody else's. And if you want to do a surrogacy, and we did, and but you know, we're not filthy rich, and a lot of the gay men who we know who have kids are like, they have a lot of money.
Yeah.
They're filthy rich. Especially we're in New York City, you know, of course, like the gays rule the city. And
yeah, in New York City, your friends are like, yeah, I'm a lawyer / senator / I own a construction company, very casually, and a catering company.
My grandmother is in the royal family in Switzerland. It's not a big deal, whatever. Right. No, you're like, oh, great. Oh, cool. Is it hard for you? But we're, you know, like, we're just normal people. And I think that that's why people respond to us on Instagram, is that, you know, we're navigating the public school system. We're just people trying to be good dads that our son is not going to have crazy amounts of privilege. But we're fine. Like, again, I am a totally like privileged, you know, white man who has been given every opportunity. But he is, you know, like, we're not sending him to the most expensive private school in New York City, and he's going to live that way. So it is nice to be like, no, normal gay people who can be dads and have a family, and let's live normal lives.
And I think for any performers listening to this, which a lot of people who listen to this are, I think, you know, gay, straight, whatever, it's very exciting and admirable to be seeing anyone who makes their living as a performer raising children, because it is so hard. I remember when Jesse Mueller won her Tony Award and thanked her parents and said, like, they were actors in Chicago, and they, you know, they inspired us to do this, and they were able to, you know, put food on our table as actors their whole lives. And isn't that incredible? And it's true. It's like, we forget, especially during this pandemic time, it's like, the world needs entertainment. They need entertainers. And so we have to figure out a system where, you know, we are able to afford to live. I tried to buy a car yesterday and was so taken aback by the, like, extra money on money insurance and all that. And when I tell you, when I drive, I'm in love. I'm alive. Clay. Okay, not to completely nerd out at you, but I'm just going to, actually. I listen to that song so often in the car, it's not right.
Oh, That makes me very happy. That makes me very happy. That's not at all. I appreciate it.
I love that show. I was working at a regional theater making like $300 a week, and my contract ended. I came back to see your closing night. And walked up to the box office and was like, "Do you have any tickets left for tonight?" And he goes, "We have one ticket for $150." And I was like, "That's half my paycheck from last week. Like, I can't." I was like, "I'm sorry, I can't afford it." And I turned around and walked away. And he goes, "We also have a ticket for $25." I was like, ah!
"Wow!"
And so I got that ticket. And I know. They really. But like, also props to him making his like, you know, $15 an hour, being like, "I'm going to get this money for this show." But I saw the closing night, and I just loved it so much. I thought it was so, so fun.
Thank you. It's amazing to be, you know, that's one of those shows that we had this very short Broadway run, and we'd been working on the show, kind of the core four of us had been working on the show for years, literally like, you know, 3 years, two out of towns, all these workshops, all this stuff. So it was incredibly sad when it closed, because we were this little family and we weren't going to be together every day anymore. And so I was very sad about it, you know, and then as the years went on and it's lived on in this crazy way that like the album, the cast album people listen to and the pirated videotapes or whatever. I teach workshops a lot or master classes. And I often go to master classes and people will be like, "Oh my God, I loved you and Bonnie and Clyde." And they're like 20 years old. Like, you did not see Bonnie and Clyde. How do you know I was good in it? They're always like, "Oh, well, we watched the pirated video." But hey, you know, in this instance, it's nice that it has gone out into the world and continued to have a life, because it was very, very special to all of us. And it was my Broadway debut. It was huge for me. So I appreciate it. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for listening to it.
I loved it. Was it cool to make your Broadway debut as like a major lead in a show?
It was crazy. Yeah. And exciting. And, you know, you're just so wrapped up in the process and doing it and doing the work that it wasn't until after the whole thing was over that I was like, "Oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was very, very cool." Because you're just like, you know, focusing on doing what you have to do every single day on stage. And it was very exciting.
That is so cool. I have a very embarrassing story from that show that I've never told that I'm going to share with you right now. As a little fan of, also we're talking about Bonnie and Clyde, the musical. I didn't say that. I just referenced a song. Yeah. I messaged your co-star who played opposite you on Melissa on Facebook when the Tony nominations came out. I sent her the longest Facebook message that was like, "It is so inappropriate that you weren't nominated for a Tony. You were unbelievable in the show." Because I just remember being like, "This woman is an such a sickening actress, and her voice is so cool and so unique." Long, long message. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just kind of like, you know, I'm not 12 years old. Like, I'm a potential colleague of hers. And I was just like, "So you are so good. And it's unbelievable. You didn't get the credit you deserve." And then she didn't respond. I was like, "Of course not." And then we were both the only two people in Fuel Smoothie. You know that like Fuel? I don't know if it's still there, but it's on 9th Avenue. Yeah. And I saw her look at me out of the corner of her eye and then leave. And I was like, "Well, that's so embarrassing." And then she messaged me back like right after that. I was like, "It's just the serendipity of seeing each other in Fuel Smoothie that really brings people together."
You know what? It is very brave of you to do that. And that takes a lot of guts to write. I know, because I have written fan letters, I'm calling it. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when you reach out to a stranger who you saw perform and you're like, "Oh my God, that performance was amazing," or "changed me," or "meant something to me." That's a very vulnerable thing to do. And a lot of people don't do it, but it is very appreciated. And I'm sure that meant so much to her. I'm sure that meant so much to her in the time when she was feeling maybe looked over. And I completely agree with you. She is
the most incredible actress I've ever worked with. And she made me better. I could have done that. There are parts of that show that made me exhausted. I could have done all of my scenes with her for another 5 years, because every single time we did it, we never did it the same. We never did it the same once. We were always exploring. We used to improv together about 15 minutes before curtain. Every single performance we ever did of that show, ever, we would go off somewhere by ourselves to be weird, because we knew it was super weird. And we would just improv in our characters for a few minutes with each other, just to kind of be with each other and be with our characters, have our characters kind of join. And I've just never had another experience where I have been on the same page with my co-star like that. We just fully trusted each other.
I love that. It really is. It's so tragic when those experiences are over, because you're like, damn, we really linked up. Like, we really were so close.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about Company?
Yeah, see.
I have a really hardball question for you about Company. It's, the question is two words, and it's Patti LuPone.
Patti LuPone and let me just start by saying this. Patti LuPone and I have the same birthday. And I was so nervous to like meet her and be rehearsing with her and be in the same room with her, whatever. And I happened to be like on our third day of rehearsal or something, I happened to be sitting next to her. Somehow people were talking about birthdays. And I, of course, knew that we had the same birthday.
I'm looking at your chart every single day, Patti. Oh,
exactly. I'm like, but it came up, and Patti and people were all saying their birthdays, and Patti was like, mine is April 21st. And I was like, well, this is my Oscar winning performance. Why? Your birthday is April 21st. Why? Goodness.
You pull out a top hat. You pull out a cane. You have a monocle. Like, all of a sudden.
Oh, lucky stars. I said it. I was like, oh, that's my birthday too. That's so amazing. She turned to me and took my face in her hands and looked at me in the eyes and said, dead seriously, that means we're soulmates. And I was like, my bowels immediately evacuated. I'm like, oh my God, my dreams, they're all coming true. And you know, she is that kind of, she is very woo-woo-y, and I have had nothing but the most incredible time with her. She has given me incredible advice. She has been reaching out. She sent me presents, like all of us. She has two dressing rooms, made into one, kind of, which is just how it works backstage at a Broadway house sometimes. That's not that strange, but it's like two rooms, I should say. And instead of having the two rooms, she made up one of the rooms into a bar that's just for the cast. And we, like, she would be like, hey, what do you want in the bar? What sort of snacks and what do you drink? To everybody, like not just me. She would be like, I want to make sure I have that special gin you drink so that you come and have drinks with me. That's all she wants. She just wants to be together. And I have this video of, you know, it's a tiny dressing room, but almost the entire cast and production team crammed into this little dressing room, like on top of each other with martinis in our hands, playing the radio and singing. I have this video of us like swaying and singing on one of our last nights all together. And it is my happy place. It's like, it's the thing that I look at when I'm like, I'm sad. And I know we're going to come back, and I can't wait to be together again. And I can only imagine how joyful, first of all, it will be to be together on the first day of rehearsal again. But doing the opening number of Company, having it end, I will be crying my face off, as will everybody else. I can't wait. But Patti LuPone, back to Patti LuPone, she has been delightful, charming, lovely. I've had a fantastic time with her. And we're soulmates.
And so. You're soulmates. That is so exciting. First of all, I'm so excited to see it. I cannot wait to see that show. I love that show. I mean, what gay person doesn't love that show? It's so good. I'm so excited to see it with a woman as Bobby. I think that's so great. I've never seen Katrina Lenk on stage before, but I'm very excited to, because I hear she's unbelievable. And the whole cast, like, come on. Christopher Sieber? Jennifer Simard?
Oh my God.
Did you see Jen Simard in Disaster?
I saw Disaster at, off Broadway when it was at the somewhere.
I did too. Where. Like on Restaurant Row or something. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. I will never forget that performance in, as long as I live. I was just shocked and blown away.
Truly. Like one of those, like, I have no words. I just stuttered eight times because it's truly like, it's so rare to sit in a theater and see somebody sing like that and then also have that kind of comedic timing. It's like, how, where did you come from and what is going on here, young lady?
And she is so funny in company. It's unbelievable. And Chris Fitzgerald, it's an insane cast of people, all of whom are just so good at their job. They're just so good at it. And they're really lovely human beings, which is just a bonus. You know, sometimes. I wish it weren't always just a bonus, but it is a bonus sometimes. Yeah. And they're just, it's such a delight to be at work every day with them.
Oh my God, I love that. Also, back to Patty, I think that is really, really fun backstage tea. And how cool and sweet of her to turn half of that into a bar. Clay, I promise I'm a very cool person. But there's a huge part of me that is an 11-year-old, a theater nerd through and through, dooring, asking for autographs, theater nerd, messaging Melissa on Facebook. But so I've seen literally, I'm not kidding, every interview of Patty ever. Every YouTube video, I listened to her book not once, but two times through.
I have as well, actually. I won't lie. It's really fun. Oh, it's great.
To me, there's the three greatest books of all time ever written are Crime and Punishment, Patty's memoir, and Jessica Simpson's memoir. I'm not even kidding.
That is, you know what's funny is that's commonly the top three books.
In schools across the nation, they're actually, that's a required reading list. They say,
oh my God,
I'm not,
AP reading.
I'm not kidding. If
Jessica Simpson's book?
Yes.
It's good.
Good?
Wow. I don't know anything about her.
Exactly.
But
exactly. Huh? I think none of us really did until I read the book. Ooh. I think you would really love it, actually, because it's a lot about growing up in a very conservative, very Christian home and how that affected her and how she has, like, reckoned with that and found her own new relationship with it. And then also just growing up in the public eye and growing up as a woman, and she faced so much rejection that it is really harrowing and really shocking. Like, she auditioned for the Disney Channel show with Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears, and she is like one of three kids that didn't make it. Like, there were like 18 of them or something in the camp to like go do it. And then they took, 15 of them, and then three of them said no, and she was one of them. And like, she said that experience made her not want to sing anymore. And, just like the weird, weird way that she had a whole music career and then became like actually famous when she had a reality show and then became like a TMZ tabloid person. And she was like, this was never really what I wanted. And she's much smarter than I think the image of her that's been portrayed. And she's not in show business anymore. So she goes in. Like, she's giving, it's, I promise, it's really, really good. And it's so shockingly well written.
Yeah. All right. All right.
That was the longest promo.
Great. It was great. She's coming on to the podcast next week.
And next week, Jessica. But Patty's memoir is even better, obviously, because there's just something about Patty LuPone where she's like, I'm just going to tell it like it is. And she's had that seemingly since she was like, a teenager. She's just like, there is no bullshit with me.
I used to listen to it at the gym, like everybody is listening at the gym. People are like, man, listening to rock and rap and whatever. I'm listening to Patty LuPone talk about struggle. She's like, it really fired me up. Yeah. I listened to it twice. Once, yeah, I mean, like, one time I just kind of came back to it and was like, oh, I'm just going to listen to a piece of this. And I ended up listening to the whole thing again over the course of a week or so. It's delightful. She's delightful.
It's and I so can't wait to see
Company. It's the most insane production. I have never, the production itself, Bunny Christie, who designed the sets, it is one of the most technically astonishing things definitely that I've ever been in. And two that probably I've ever seen. It which you don't think of when you think of Company, you think of like a black room with eight chairs. This is a huge Broadway production, and it tells its own kind of story and makes its own kind of commentary I won't tell you about the story that's really, really fascinating. And I'm delightful.
Okay, Gagatrandra. And it seems like things are cooking again. Like, it seems like, I mean, people are out here getting vaccinated. Things are happening.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're just waiting for them to make the plan. And you know, every Broadway show is waiting to make the plan. They're all sort of figuring it out right now, but we'll be back for sure. And I have no doubt. And, you know, I haven't even been back to my dressing room. I left my dressing room thinking I was coming back the next day. And now it's been a year and a month and I still haven't gone back.
I saw you.
I don't even know what's in there.
I saw you say that in another interview. And my first thought was like, dear God, I hope there's not like a pear sitting on that counter or something. Just like a moldy.
They went back and like cleared out all the food from our fridges stuff and kind of like. But I have all my opening night gifts are there sitting on shelves. So eerie.
That is strange. That is so weird to think about all of these empty theaters just sitting there.
It gives me chills. It's like,
yeah, truly.
Yeah.
What were your slumber parties like growing up?
Oh, okay. So I was Mormon kid, youngest of eight siblings.
Youngest of my eight, older brother. Clay? My dad, yes. My dad's like that too. He's also the youngest of eight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're the best. Yeah. Youngest of eights are the best. And my older brother is gay too. So slumber parties for me, the first slumber parties I remember were like me and my brother and my best friend who was a girl. And it was like very, very secret that my mom would let her come and have sleepovers because it was like, not, you know, that was hard, not allowed. But it's like my mom knew. She did. She had two gay sons at the end there. And we would listen to Judy Garland on the tape deck. And we would like listen to Judy Garland tapes or Edith Piaf records.
Stop.
We had Edith Piaf records at my grandmother's. Oh yeah. Every day after school, my brother and I, every day would come home and put on an Edith Piaf record or a musical or Judy Garland. And we would like have our snacks and do our homework. But we would stay up really late listening to music. And then in the middle of the night, we would sneak into the kitchen and bake things. And we would like, I remember one time when I was very young, we went and baked an apple pie in the middle at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And kind of to surprise my parents, but also kind of just because it was like we felt like we were being bad somehow. Yeah. I don't know. Oh my God. I just heard myself say this. Other kids were like sneaking out to smoke pot with their friends. And I was like, I'm going to bake an apple pie.
That's breaking the rules for a gay child. It's truly like,
oh my God.
We're always telling ourselves the story that like we have to be good kids. So like that is breaking the rules, baking an apple pie.
I've never said that out loud before. And I'm so embarrassed right now that was my ultimate rebellion as a child. But it was, and that's what I remember. That's like the first sleepovers I remember were with my brother and my best friend. Cause my brother and I were best friends. We're still very, very close. And so that's like what I remember.
This is my favorite part about doing this podcast, talking to gay people and unlocking memories like that. You just unlocked a memory for me that I want to share with you, which is so crazy. That feeling of like, I don't want to do anything bad. My mom had this like, remember Precious Moments? They were like those little dolls.
Ceramic dolls,
whatever they were. My mom had something similar to that, which was just like an Easter bunny carrying in a little basket an Easter egg, and she would put it out every Easter, and I wasn't supposed to play with it because it was, you know, very breakable. And I was playing with it with my action figures. Like, I was like having the X-Men fight it or whatever. And the wheelbarrow broke from the bunny's hands. I broke it.
No.
It was, I felt, when I tell you, I like tortured myself over this. I'm sure that that thing cost $15 maximum. Like, it wasn't like super nice. It just like, it was whatever. And I knew that I wasn't supposed to play with it. And I did anyway. I drew all these pictures and wrote my mom a letter apologizing to her. I was probably like 8 or 9. I drew this picture of Jesus.
Oh, I'm so excited.
With the Easter bunny, with the barrel. And then next to it was a picture of the barrel with the Easter bunny, broken barrel, next to the devil. I drew the devil. And then I put a circle around it and crossed it out and said, you know, the devil is bad, and I'm so sorry I followed the devil.
Oh my God. This is, holy shit. That is so many layers of fucked up. That is so messed up.
That memory,
oh my God,
was buried so deep in me, and something about what you said just made it come
up. Oh my God. There. I mean, like, I fully understand it, though. Like,
you're baking apple pies as your naughty thing. Like, yeah.
The devil, yeah, was like, oh my gosh. And it did always come down to like Jesus or the devil.
Always.
It was very, like, yeah. The devil was whispering in your ear, bake apple pies. Playing with the rabbits. With their apple.
Put extra lard and sugar in it. Clay, break the rules.
If I had to write a confessional letter to my mother now with pictures of Jesus and pictures of the devil, it would not involve a wheelbarrow and a bunny, and it would not be okay.
Wow. Oh my God. Wait, and your brother is 7 in line of the 8? He's
7 of 8.
Oh my God, that's so cute. So you're like close in age.
Yeah. With a little gaze at the end.
Oh my God, where does he live?
He lives in San Antonio with his husband. And they both work in hospitals. He's a psychologist, and his husband is a nurse. They're delightful.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
I'm singing and dancing and pretending to be other people, and they are literally saving lives. But it's great.
And you both just knew you loved Judy Garland. You were like, we're going to put this on. There's something about this.
Yes. And we used to do musicals too. We used to put on musical productions in my parents' bedroom, because they had this kind of big open area at the foot of their bed, and we would take the soundtrack to a musical and play it, and we would like lip sync and use mostly tablecloths to like make hair and dresses. But we did The Little Mermaid, and we did I Was Ariel, obviously, and we did Sing Meet Me in St. Louis, the trolley song, and he was Judy Garland and I was everyone else in the song. That was his star moment. I remember them so particularly, though, doing it and loving it, and like I couldn't wait to invite my parents in to come watch our performance.
That is so cute. Did you wear wigs?
It's like a little, hold on. No, we didn't have any wigs. We would wrap, like, you know, wrap the tablecloth around, so it looked like around our head, tuck it behind our ears.
Oh my God. Speaking of what we were talking about earlier, Drag Race Thailand, there's a queen, the queen that wins this unbelievable. Wait, I just spoiled it for you. I'm realizing now, if you're going to watch it. Okay. So I won't tell you her name. There is a queen that the assignment is to do like a drag reveal. And she comes out in a full, like one of those T-Rex, like inflatable T-Rex. Yeah, blow up things. And then she moves out of the T-Rex and has a wig made entirely of towels and a dress made entirely of towels, being like, you know, when I was a kid, this is how I did drag. I made an entire outfit out of picnic table and towels, kind of a thing. I was like,
oh,
this is so inventive, and so like we all relate. We all did that. Put something on your head to pretend to be a wig.
Oh my God.
It's now time for the section of the pod called Wait, Let's Have Fun. Okay. In this section, we play some slumber party games. And I just came up with one for you because you told me you're a Judy stan. I have a Mary F. Kill for you.
All right.
Judy Garland films. Meet Me in St. Ooh. Louis. Mm-hmm. A Star is Born. Wizard of Oz. You have to marry one, you have to F one, and you have to kill one.
Honestly, I hate to say it, but I would kill the Wizard of Oz. Kill the Wizard of Oz. I mean, I love it, but I am deeply passionate in love with the other two. Also, The Man That Got Away is, I could watch it every day on repeat. And I did as a child. And I would say I would marry Meet Me in St. Louis because it's happier, you know, it's cheerful. And then I would want to fuck Star is Born because it's dark and weird and sexy and, you know, not weird, but it's darker and
It's more fuckable for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to be really mad at me. I've actually never seen her Star is Born or Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh, don't do this to me. No, I trusted you. I thought we were family.
I trusted
you. Okay, I'm going to go listen to Jessica Simpson's book. You are going to watch the real A Star is Born.
Okay.
The one.
Okay.
You go watch A Star is Born. It's 18 hours long and so slow. Just watch the whole thing. I'm going to read that book or listen to that book and we will reconvene. And then.
Okay. That's fair. That's only fair. Yeah, I don't know. And honestly, in my like gay knowledge, Judy, I've talked about this a lot on the pod, but Judy is kind of a blind spot for me. Other than Wizard of Oz, and I'm a huge Liza fan, like love, love, love all of Liza's albums, but I just, something about, Judy was never played in the home growing up. Yeah, I gotta get into it.
I know I've heard every single recording of Judy Garland ever. I'm fairly certain.
Okay, I love that so much.
We really went deep in that, my brother and I.
This has been so fun, Clay. I could talk to you for so long. Where can the people find you if they want to follow you?
They can find me on Instagram is the best place, at Claiborne Elder. Look for me there.
Great.
Follow me there.
And company's going to come back, so get your tickets.
I'm going to come back.
Let's go see
also,
it.
Yes.
Also what? Go ahead.
I was going to say I just shot a TV show that's coming out next year that I can't talk about. So let's not talk about it. I just realized I'm not supposed to really talk much about it, but it's great.
Just keep your TVs on. And if he comes across the screen, be like,
Watch Instagram. I'll tell you about it later.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much. You can follow me at TMurray06, everyone. And I am, say it with me, tacky. So I am wearing my own merch right now. We have slumber party merch. There's a tote in the background. There's pillows. There's blankets. Get into it. And Clay, thank you. What a damn blast.
Pleasure. It was lovely to get to chat with you.
Yes. We'll see you guys on the flip side. Bye.
Let's have a slumber party.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.